14. We're going to do a little bit in 13 and then try and hang out in 14 a little bit. As you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. I thank you, God, that you love us. You love this church, Lord. You love your people. I thank you, God, for grace in this house and for deliverance in this house, for mercy in this house, love in this house, God. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint my words today. I pray you would seal it on every person's heart. Jesus, we just put a demand on heaven. We ask you, God, to change us, to transform us, to launch us, Lord, deeper into our destinies, God. Because something always happens when the Word of God is presented. And so, Father, we just praise you. We honor you with all that we are, Lord. We're just a grateful people. Father, we're a thankful people. Lord, we don't want to just be thankful and grateful on Thanksgiving, God, but we want to be a people that are eternally thankful and grateful 365 days a year. And Lord, we're thankful and we're happy and we're excited to be in the house of the Lord. And so we just give you all the glory, all the worship and the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And Lord, bless the Niners today in the name of Jesus. I'm just kidding. Got to throw that in there. He's like, I didn't hear that prayer. I got something I want to share with you guys. Acts 13 and 14 have just some good chapters in the Bible. But before I really dive into that, I felt like it was important to kind of touch on there's just been a lot of stuff going on in the body of Christ as a whole. There's just been a lot happening over the last few years. There's been a lot happening over the last couple months, really. I mean, if you maybe you're not aware, but there's just, I'll just kind of, just a couple highlights. But we have some prominent leaders in the faith that have left their faith and walked away from their Christian beliefs. You know, the famous I Kiss Dating Goodbye guy, you know, and he walked away from his faith. Another famous worship leader and some other famous very prominent leaders in the faith have renounced their faith and walked away from Jesus, which is just like, it's troubling and it's heartbreaking. And then you hear other news of pastors committing suicide. This has happened so much over the last year. I mean, there's been a couple stories highlighted because they were in bigger churches, but it's happened more than you know. There's been several pastors that have been committing suicide. And so it's like, what is happening? You hear of other ministries that are, you know, they were great ministries like a year ago or 2 years ago, and then all of a sudden they're totally imploding. Like their mess and their sin is just all over Facebook and social media, and you're just like, oh man, I feel really bad for you. I'm just gonna pray. And so we see these ministers falling, and we see people messing up, and we see some also at the same time some crazy New Age beliefs beginning to creep into Christianity and creep into some Christian circles, and it is killing the body. And it's just New Age demonic philosophy. And then you have like prominent Christian leaders. This just happened a couple days ago, like Benny Hinn, and he's coming against the prosperity message. And he says, I renounce the prosperity message. That's evil. And the part that, and I agree with him to an extent, the part that I agree with is the preachers that stand up and say, give me $1,000 and you'll get your healing. That's what he was referring to. And that is wrong. That is totally wrong. That's manipulation. And so we see all this stuff, and I've just been inundated on my emails and on social media, and I'm like, what is going on in the body of Christ? And why are people getting swept away into sin? And why are people getting swept away into the desires of their flesh, who 5 months ago they were on fire for the Lord, said, I would serve you for the rest of my life. Send me to Africa. Send me to Mexico. Ron, sign me up, you know. And then like 5 months later, they're just like a mess. Don't care. And I'm like, what? What's happened? Have you ever just asked that question? Like, what the heck is happening? What the heck? What the H-E double hockey stick, if I could be so blunt, is happening in the body of Christ? And really, like, I think you have to ask these questions. And I think you have to, we all have to ask these questions. But as I begin to read the book of Acts, if I didn't read the book of Acts, if I didn't read the Bible, and if I didn't pray, I'd be afraid. I'd be nervous. I'd be scared for the body of Christ. But as I begin to pray, as I begin to read the Word of God, I begin to have more hope for the body of Christ than I've had in a long time. I begin to have more hope in this time of uncertainty than I have in years and years and years. Why? Because the same stuff that happened then is the same stuff that's happening now. The same stuff that happened, and the same forces of evil and political spirits that Paul had to confront are the same spirits that are at work today. Just different faces, but same spirits. And there's something so powerful about Paul and Barnabas's response to all of the opposition, to the death threats, to people hating them, to Christians loving them, and then Christians hating them. There was something so powerful about what their response was, and it really just rocked my heart. And I believe that God is wanting to realign the church again and get it back to real, authentic Christianity. Authentic, believing believers. And the heartbeat of Christianity and the heartbeat of Paul, I believe, was this. Live a life of conviction. Live a life of passion. And live a life saturated in the love of Jesus. I think if you can do these three things, which you see so beautifully laid out in Barnabas' life, in Paul's life, in the Apostle John, and in Luke, and all these guys, you see conviction. Where's the conviction these days? Like, where is it? It's like void from so many Christians' lives. Where's the conviction? Where's the passion? I'll give my life for you. I'll serve you to the very end. Like, what happened to our passion? We're passionate about our iPhones. We're passionate about Instagram. We're passionate about that new pic. That was an awesome meal. Just being silly. But really, like, where is our passion gone? I think a lot of Christians, sometimes we have a lot of conviction and passion, but we lack love. And that's dangerous, because then we can be mean and we can be legalistic. But then on the other end of that, I think a lot of Christians have what they call love, but they have no conviction or passion. Come on, I'm preaching better than you responded. I think a lot of Christians have a false love. And we say, hey, like, I don't want to rock the boat in that brother's life, because I love him. That's not love. I don't want to confront that false theology and that demonic theology that my brother got swept away in, and he's about to lose his salvation because he's getting so far off. I don't want to confront that because I love him and I want to keep him close. I want to snuggle him. You know, I want to hug him back to Jesus. That's not love. That's not love. That's not love. It's not love to the person that was so on fire for God, and then all of a sudden they decide, I'm just going to get drunk 7 days a week, and I'm just going to do whatever I want with whomever I want. And we just say, well, I'm just going to have a coffee date with this person, but I'm not going to say anything about their lifestyle. That's not love. And I don't think we have to beat them over the head. We don't have to be mean, but we could just say with tears in our eyes, I love you. I love you so much that I don't want to leave you in this same way that I found you. That's love. And that's what Jesus did for all of us. He didn't leave us the same way he found us. And now we're the hands and the feet of Jesus. Amen. And so these guys, they lived with conviction. Say conviction. Passion. And they were saturated in the love of Jesus. The agape love of the Father. That is the most powerful love that there is. And these guys walked in it. When people wanted to kill them, when people wanted to imprison them, you know, we read just a couple weeks ago, Peter imprisoned chained up, and yet he had so much joy and so much rest and so much peace in the midst of his chains, in the midst of his beating. He could say, praise the Lord, I know you're my Redeemer. I know that you have a plan for my life. I'm excited about this because I think we're at a turning point in the world in Christianity. I really do. Somebody's like, whoa, come on. Keep going. So I felt like it was important to talk about some of that because there's these issues that are going on in the world, and there's these issues that are going on in the body, and it could scare you if you're not tapped into the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be scared of the political system. We don't need to be scared of what's going on in California. We don't need to be scared of anything. We need to live with conviction. We need to live with a passion. And we need to live with the love of Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And so this is exactly what began to happen in this radical guy's life by the name of Paul. You know, a man that was leading the charge against the church. He was pulling, dragging Christians out of their homes and ordering them to be killed. I mean, this was like Osama bin Laden getting saved, if you will. To an extent. I mean, this is an extremist. He hated the church. And all of a sudden now he is the poster boy of the church. he's the main apostle. He's it. And it's redemption. It's a beautiful story. So let's go to chapter 13. Now in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, Lucius of Cyrene, who had been brought up with Herod and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, say ministered to the Lord.
Ministered to the Lord.
Fasted. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. And they sent them away. And I felt like it was important to... I want to focus mainly on chapter 14. But I couldn't get away from this because here are Barnabas and Paul. I love both of them. And they're not like banging down the apostles' doors. Like, give me this and give me that and send me here and send me there. And I need a ministry. Like they just said, we just want Jesus. We just want to minister to God. Like he saved me. He delivered me. He rescued me. Let's just minister to him. And so they got in a room and they begin to fast and they begin to pray and they begin to minister to the heart of the Father. And in the context of prayer and in the context of community, believers gathering together, all of a sudden they found their purpose. They found their purpose. They found their destiny. And I feel like that is such a beautiful thing. And this is why church is such an important place to come. Because we need each other. We're family. And it is in the context of prayer. Prayer in your own closet, but prayer corporately. And it is in the context of community that you will find your destiny. You'll find your purpose in life. Amen? And so I love that as they're doing this, the Holy Spirit says, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. And so they laid hands on them and they sent them. Say, sent them. You know, I think a lot of Christians in the world, I think a lot of Christians went. But God wants us to be sent.
Yeah.
Amen. I think a lot just go on their own and they just went. But God's like, I don't want you to just went. if I could say that. I want you to be sent. And the way that we are sent is when we have the endorsement of mothers and fathers. When we have the backing of the local church, the local family, and we just say, I back this guy. I love this woman. I love this guy. And we support them, we bless them, and we send them. That is the power of the body of Christ. That is the power of family. And that's why I think a lot of Christians are just getting cut at the knees because they have big dreams, big ministries. But they're not getting connected to spiritual mothers and fathers. They're not getting connected to local churches, local bodies. And so, you know, when the enemy comes, and he will, there's no protection, there's no covering, there's no authority, there's no blessing. And so We need this in our life. Amen. And this is exactly what we see in Paul and Barnabas. They were sent by the Holy Spirit. The apostles said, we endorse you, we love you, and we send you. And so these guys just were full of the Holy Spirit. They started walking in all these signs and wonders, and wild stuff started following them all over the place. And it's pretty incredible stuff in chapter 13. But I just want to hang out in 14 just for a moment. Say 14.
14.
And in 14, they start going all over the place. They're preaching in all these different villages and cities and lands. And they come to a place called Lystra. Say Lystra. Listerine. Not Listerine. Lystra. Lystra. This place smells amazing. It's fresh. Lystra was located in the hill country of the Roman province of Galatia. And it was surrounded by mountains. And it was a military post for Rome. And it's interesting little place. And when I begin to just think about this little village called Lystra, I just started thinking about this little place called Crowley. Started thinking about this little place tucked in the mountains that seems insignificant, that seems hidden, and seems like what good could ever come from a place tucked behind the mountains? It's not in a city. It's not in the capital. What good could come from there? And I feel like this is exactly the type of situation that Paul was facing. He came into a place that was this small, insignificant place. It's just a military town. We have a military base just right over the mountains here, not too far from us. And they do a lot of training around these parts. But it was interesting that Paul ended up going back to this location three different times. But the Lord really moved on his heart in this place called Lystra. And actually, his second journey there, he enlisted a man by the name of Timothy. Say, Timothy.
Timothy.
I love Timothy. And Timothy became a spiritual son. He began to pour his heart into this young man named Timothy. And he raised him up to be a pastor. And so we see great signs and wonders. We see a body of believers being established. And we see leaders get launched into the world that nobody thought would. Nothing good could ever come from Lystra. No good could ever come from this little military town called Lystra that's tucked in the mountains. But something good came. Amen. And it starts with this in chapter 14. We see this beautiful story happen as they're preaching and they're laying hands. And it says that many people are getting healed and many signs and wonders are happening. And they're preaching. They're making disciples. I mean, this is just powerful stuff. But in verse 8, I love this story. It says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking, and Paul observing him. Other translations say Paul perceived intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. He said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Isn't that awesome? I love that story. I love that three little verses right there. There's a lot happening in this. And there's so much that you can extract and pull out of this. And I think that just a few things I just want to make note of here. The first thing is that the gospel was preached or talked about, actually. If you read certain commentaries, it actually says that Paul was actually in maybe like a city square type place and having a conversation. And so he was just talking about the kingdom of God. He was having a conversation about the kingdom of the testimonies of the miracle-working power of the salvation of Jesus. He's having this conversation. And so the gospel was talked about. Say, talked about. And something always happens when we open our mouth. See, life and death are in the power of our tongue. And so we can either, when we come into an environment, whether it's our home, our workplace, our family, we can begin to create an atmosphere that is charged with faith, charged with hope, charged with the impossible things, bowing to the feet of Jesus. Or we could begin to speak doubt, unbelief, and fear. And people feel, you know, just pushed down, and I'm never going to win. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. But we want to create an atmosphere of hope, and we want to create an atmosphere of faith. And the way that you do that is you begin to talk, not about yourself, but you begin to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
You begin to lift up the name of Jesus. And this is exactly what he began to do. And he's just talking to some men and having a conversation about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, maybe sharing some testimonies and some healing stories. And then all of a sudden, this man hears. He hears. He's sitting there, and he's like, not to die. I mean, he's probably a beggar. Most people in this time, in the Bible days, when they were crippled, they became beggars. And so he's probably begging for food. And all of a sudden, he hears the message. He hears this conversation. He hears about the kingdom. He hears about this Jesus. And faith begins to rise in his heart. Paul's not even aware that somebody's listening to him. Somebody on the side. Somebody over there. Somebody's listening. Somebody's watching. And he is getting full of faith right now just because somebody else is sharing the good news. This is good word. Romans 10:17, what does it say? It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And so that means to me that somebody needs to begin to speak. Somebody needs to share. Somebody needs to begin to talk about the good news again, because the gospel is good news. And this is exactly what happened. So this man is sitting here, and faith begins to rise in his heart. Because somebody's sharing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so all of a sudden, Paul is having this conversation. He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the King of Kings. And he perceives. He observes that a man has faith. See, I think it's good to be aware of what's happening around us. I think many times we're not aware. We're not aware who our audience is. Wherever we go, whether we're in the coffee shop, whether we're in the Vons or wherever we are, we're unaware of who our audience is. But there's always somebody watching. There's always somebody listening. And are you filling them with faith, or are you filling them with fear? Are they just getting so excited for their miracle to take place when they hear you begin to open your mouth? Or they're just like, oh, you know, I knew it wasn't real. You know, Paul perceives in this man that he has faith to be healed. I just love this. And then the fourth thing that happens in Paul's situation, which was beautiful, he doesn't just perceive, but he takes action. Say action.
Action.
So he opens his mouth and he speaks. We got to open our mouth. And then we know faith comes by hearing. He perceives. He's perceptive. He has discernment. I think a lot of us have a gift of discernment. It's a great thing to walk in, But he didn't just say, oh, I discern this man has great faith, but praise him, we're going to the synagogue. Or praise him. He didn't just discern it and perceive it and walk away. He said something's happening in that man's heart. And so all this stuff is happening. So a man is speaking. A man is talking about Jesus. Over here, a man is getting stirred in his heart. He doesn't even know what's happening. He's saying something is different on the inside of me. He's having like a Grinch moment where his heart is getting three times too big, right? He's like, what is happening to me? I don't understand this. He doesn't have the vocabulary to communicate what's happening on the inside of his heart. But something's happening. His faith is getting stirred. And Paul says, I discern, I perceive that man right there has faith to be healed.
Yeah.
Come on. Are we aware of who's around us? Are we aware of our children? They're watching. They're listening. Our nieces, our nephews. Come on, somebody. So he noticed, he perceived, and then he took action. He said, get up and walk. Get up, leap. And the man leaped to his feet, and he was completely and instantly healed. Somebody say, hallelujah. Woo, woo. So I love this, that I love this whole story, that faith came when Paul spoke. And I believe that faith is going to come when you speak.
Amen.
Amen. I believe you're going to step into your workplace and into your homes and into your families, into your marriages. I believe you're going to speak and faith is going to come. Faith is going to be injected into your situations, just like Paul did. 2,000 years ago, a man stood in the city and he began to open his mouth about Jesus. Today, I believe that people are going to go out into the community and begin to open their mouth and people are going to be full of faith. 2,000 years ago, a man perceived that somebody else had faith. Today, I believe that you're going to go into this community and perceive that people have faith for their miracle. You're going to begin to perceive that employee of yours, they have faith for their breakthrough today. Come on, I'm excited. And for me, today, here, I perceive that there is faith in this room. I perceive it. I perceive that you have faith for your miracle, for your breakthrough. I do. I feel that there is faith in this room. Come on now. Ooh-wee. Yeah. And so what happens? This man gets radically saved, radically healed, and just this beautiful story takes place. And we know that Paul and Barnabas begin to make many disciples in Lystra. But before that happened, what begins to take place is interesting to me. We see that, what do? They say, oh man, these guys are awesome. Let's make them gods. You know, this seems like a noble thing to do. Like they're walking in signs and wonders. So they say, I think this is Zeus. And so let's put some flowers around their neck. Like let's give them a bunch of goodies and it's Nacho Libre for you. I don't want your goodies, you know. So they give them goodies and they give them flowers and they give them treats and they give them all this stuff and they're like, you are our God now. And they're like, whoa, wait, what did you just call me? I'm your what? No, I'm not. And they said, no, look to him. Look to Jesus. And they begin to take the people's eyes and point them to Jesus. And it was just this interesting moment. I mean, this several scriptures are verses, and these men are just like, no, you are this. And they said, no. And so they begin to preach to them who the true and the living God is, and pointing them to Christ. Always point people to Christ. Amen. Yeah. And then what happens in this situation? So all of a sudden they have a church. They have some disciples. They're building the kingdom of God. But during this time, the Jew, there was a group of Jews that hated the Christian church, right? There was a group of Gentiles that hated the Christian church. And the Jews and the Gentiles hated each other. But the one thing they had in common was, hey, we hate the church. So why don't we team up right now and hate them together? And so finally, the Jews made it over to these Gentiles and to this land, to Lystra. And they said, talk. Like, hey, let's kill them. And so they said they ran after Paul and they begin to stone Paul. That's crazy. Come on, what was he doing that was bad? Like, he's a good man. The guy just got healed. He's pointing people to Jesus. And they say, let's stone him. And they do. So listen, verse 19. Then the Jews from Antioch, they came, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and they dragged him out of the city. Wow. And we get mad when somebody blasts us on Facebook. Come on now. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose and he went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. This is intense right here. Why? Because he either got raised from the dead or a crazy miracle just happened. because they left him dead. He was either knocked unconscious because they dragged him out of the city. They wanted him dead. They said, let's stone him to death. Not let's stone him so that he's just bruised up and hurt. No, let's stone him to death. And they dragged him out, supposing him to be dead. So he was either knocked unconscious and looked like he was not breathing, or he was dead. And the cool thing is, it says that the disciples gathered around him. It doesn't say that, we don't know what exactly happened. They gathered around him, and then all of a sudden he's like, woohoo, I'm here, you know. So either we just had a resurrection from the dead, or a mighty miracle happened, because he would have had bruised bones, broken bones, bruised all over, cuts all over. And the Bible says that he, the very next day, went on another missionary journey. So he either had a radical miracle or a radical raising from the dead. Whatever it was, it was supernatural. And the thing that kind of sticks out to me is, like, here are these people. They say, we love you. We love you. We got your back. We're in this forever. I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. Whatever that Bryan Adams song is. I'll fight for you. Robin Hood, you know. I will fight for you. We have people in our lives many times that say this. They take a pledge and they say, I'll be with you. I got your back. I'm in this till the end. And they give you praise and they say, we're in this. And then the very next week, they're blasting you. So this is exactly, these guys, they say, we love you, and you're a God. You're going to be a God to us, and we want to serve you, and we want to just put these roses around your neck and give you all these goodies and treats. And and they're like, and then they're like, oh, let's just kill them. How can you go from so one extreme to the next? I think a lot of us have encountered this in our lives. We've encountered this with people in our families. We've encountered this with people in the church, and it hurts. It hurts. It hurts you, and it cuts you to the core. You know, but I feel like there's been people, and there's people even in this room. I feel like you're in a hopeless stage of life. You feel hopeless. You feel like you've literally been dragged out into the street to be left for dead. I feel like there's people in this room that you've been fighting for your marriage, and you've been feeling like you've been beat down. You're just discouraged. You feel hopeless, and you feel like you've been left for dead. There's people that have been battling addictions, and you're battling them, and you're battling them, and you're fighting them, and you're fighting them, and all of a sudden you say, I just give up, and you're feeling like a dead man in the street. To the ones that have been praying for prodigal children and praying and praying and praying and praying, and it feels like there's never going to be breakthrough. There's never going to be something shift. I've been weeping over this. I've been crying out over this, and nothing is breaking and nothing is shifting. I feel like a dead man. I feel like a dead woman. I want to give up because my children are running away from God. The brokenness that we feel can often lead to desperation. And sometimes if our desperation isn't rightly focused on Him, sometimes we just want to give up. And we say, I'm alone. Nobody's fighting for me. I want to give up. I want to lay down. I want to wave the white flag, and I'm dead. Put a fork in me. Is that a right expression? Kind of. But we feel this way. I've felt this way. Or maybe it is something that has happened in the church. And there's been words in every church body. There's no perfect church, and there's no perfect Christian. We make mistakes. But the thing that's so beautiful about Christianity is that we get to forgive each other, we get to love each other, and we get to move on with each other. Come on now, moveon.org. We get to move on. We get to forgive. We get to love. But many times it's so hard to do that when you've walked with somebody and you've prayed with somebody and it's iron sharpening iron, and you've been with that person and they've sharpened you and you've sharpened them, and all of a sudden they say something that just cuts you to the core. Or they just leave. They abandon and they leave. They go away. And, you know, I think many, and I'm not speaking for myself, but I know many pastors have felt this way when people just run away from church. When you feel like, well, you didn't even have the decency to have a conversation with me. Am I that bad of a person that we can't even talk about this? And I can't give you my blessing to go into the next church because you're too afraid to speak to me because you walk in shame. And you say things behind my back. Come on now. This happens in the church. But every human being deserves the right to have a conversation. In leadership and in the pews, in business, in families, husbands, wives, every person deserves a talk, a communication, a conversation. Come on. And many times we're afraid of what the other person's going to say, and so we just don't. And then more hurt happens, and more offense happens, and it's just come on, we got to get rid of that. We got to be done with that. But I feel that a page is turning. We're coming back to authentic Christianity. Christianity 101. We're going to live with conviction. We're going to live with passion. And we're going to live saturated in the agape love of Jesus. And I feel like right now in this room, I feel like there are people, there's stuff that has just been just suffocating you. There's stuff, fear. There's a spirit of fear that's been suffocating somebody in this room. There's somebody right now in this room. You say, I just want to give up and die. Emotionally, spiritually, maybe not physically, but I want to give up on my life. I want to give up on my family. I want to give up on my business. I want to give up whatever it is. And I don't want to name names or call out anything, but if that is you in the room, whatever the situation may be, maybe it has to do with your kids, your spouse, something. I just want you just to, by faith, prophetically, let's prophetically declare it's over.
Amen.
And I want you to stand to your feet. If that's you, just be bold. Stand to your feet. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's no shame because Paul was dead. But then all of a sudden he wasn't dead. He was dead and then he was alive. And it was only by the power of God. And see, your situation, maybe it seems totally dead to you. Maybe it seems like there's no hope. There's never going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But all you're missing is God. And I just want to take just two moments right now. I want you, if you are next to somebody, I just want you to lay hands on that person's shoulder or touch their hand, and we're just going to speak life into them. I'm not done with my message yet, but I feel this is very important because we need each other as a body. Just do this for, we're going to take 1 minute. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Father, for resurrection power. Thank you, God, that you are bringing dead things to life. You're bringing dead things to life, God. Where we felt hopeless, we felt defeated, we felt, I can't get any victory in this area. God, you're bringing victory to us. You're bringing freedom to us. You're bringing the resurrection power of the body of Christ into us right now. The chains are being broken. The hopelessness is being removed. The faith is being restored into us right now. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for faith. I thank you for love. I thank you for hope. I thank you for joy, God. That joy is our portion. That hope is our portion. Not hopelessness, but hope. I thank you, God, for love in this house. Lord, we will wave the banner of love. We'll wave the banner of love over our cities. We'll wave the banner of love over our communities, over our homes, over our marriages. We will wave the banners of love over each other. When a brother or sister is struggling, come on, we perceive that there is faith for a miracle today. We perceive and we observe that there is faith for a miracle today. There is faith for a breakthrough today. There is faith for a healing today. There is faith for a situation to change today, right now. Come on, just for 30 more seconds, just pray in faith over that person. 30 seconds. I think this is really important. Father, thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I got some more. I got a little bit more. So hang with me for 5 more minutes. But this is good. And the band, you can make your way up in about 5 minutes. But this is good. See, there's times when we feel almost dead. But I just want to speak to you. You're not dead. You're not dead. You're alive. Sometimes we feel like we're in the fire. We've just been thrown into the fiery furnace of life. I'm burning. I'm burning up here. But I want to declare and decree that there's a fourth man in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire. And as the Son of God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came into an impossible situation and looked like they were going to be killed and burned alive. But there was a fourth man in the fire. Daniel was about to be eaten by lions. But the Lord sent an angel of deliverance, hallelujah, and shut the mouth of the lion. Come on, no matter what your situation is, Jesus is here. The hope of hopes, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. There's a friend, the Bible, I love this scripture. The Bible says that there's a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. Hallelujah. There's a friend, Abalia, that sticks closer than a brother. I just release that over you in the mighty name of Jesus. There is a friend, and that friend is Jesus. God, I pray you would just be closer to her than a brother. Be closer to her than family. And bring deliverance in this season, God. Bring restoration and reconciliation. Father, I thank you. There's another man in the fire with you. There's another one, and it's Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your presence in her life, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Your presence goes with us. The fire of God goes with us. The love of Jesus goes with us. I believe that prophetic act that you just did, there's going to be something that happens. Something happens when we do that, prophetic acts. Because it's an act of faith. You might be feeling one way, but I love that song, Waymaker. No matter what I feel, you're still working. No matter what I feel like, you're working. And so sometimes you have to override your feelings and say, no, I'm going to be free. And I'm going to live. When I feel like giving up, I feel like dying, I feel like sitting on the bench. I just want to be the water boy. I don't even want to be in the team anymore. I don't even want to be the water boy. You know, I just want to give up. But God's saying, don't give up because I need you. Hallelujah. Band, you can just cruise up here for a moment. We're going to sing a song. I got a couple more verses, but I just wanted to bring them up. You know, I love Joseph's life. And I love the verse that comes to the end of his life where, you know, the enemy wanted to kill him. The devil wanted him dead. Why? Because there was a powerful destiny on that man's life. And there was a nation attached to Joseph's life. Jesus was attached to Joseph's life. And so the enemy wanted Joseph dead. And I love this. If you look at his life, there's a scripture. I'm not going to preach this, but there's a scripture in the book of Genesis where it says that Joseph says this. He says, "You sold me, brothers, into slavery. You sold me into slavery, but God sent me to be a deliverer. And so many times I think we need a perspective change. We need a shift in our mindset. Sometimes we think that everything's falling apart, that everything is crumbling, that how am I ever going to succeed in this situation? It feels like I'm dead. It feels like I'm dying. But I just want to declare over you that what feels like slavery could actually possibly be God sending you into destiny. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the famous verse, which was what I was wanting to get at, the famous verse in that whole story is so beautiful. What the enemy meant for destruction, God turned it around for good. And what the enemy meant for destruction in your life, and what the enemy meant for destruction in your family, in your heart, in your finances, in your children's lives, and in your health, what the enemy meant for destruction, God is going to turn it around. He will turn it around. Come on now. Verse 21 and 22, and we're going to sing a song. So Paul gets raised from the dead. And he's not offended. You could just laugh at that. He's not offended. He's not offended that they just killed him. He's not offended that these guys just stoned him. He goes right back to the people and he preaches and he loves and he establishes the church. Come on. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra and Antioch, and strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Come on. There's something about these guys that I feel God is like, come on, it's time to realign ourselves back to what Christianity is all about. What the heart of God is all about. We don't need to give up. We don't need to wave the white flag. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be warfare. There's going to be witchcraft. There's going to be people that call you names. There's going to be all this. There's going to be people that what it feels like they're throwing stones at you with their words, you know? But don't give up. And Paul doesn't live an offended life after he just gets killed. He lives a happy life full of the love of Jesus. We need to live unoffended. No matter what people have said to us, no matter what people have said behind our backs, no matter what has hurt, no matter what a family member did to you, no matter what has happened, we cannot live offended. I want you to just stand to your feet for a moment. We're going to sing this song. I feel this is a prophetic declaration over our church and over Crowley, over everybody in this room, over the Eastern Sierras, over our government, over California. I believe this is a prophetic declaration. And so we're going to sing this. But Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace in this house, for your mercy in this house. Lord, I thank you for the word of the Lord, and that wherever the word of the Lord is talked about and communicated, that faith will always rise. And so God, give us the courage to talk about you. Give us the courage once again to pray for those in the city. Give us courage again to share boldly our faith and our testimony. I was so convicted and so challenged. This one time, Sean and I were over in Mongolia. This was after my 3 years there. I was just on a missionary journey. We go out to the far countryside and encounter these three Mongolian men. And we just begin to talk about Jesus together. And these guys knew perfect English, and we were out in the countryside, and they said, "Our hearts have just come alive. We just love Jesus." And we had no Bibles in Mongolian, and so we just began to learn English by reading the Bible. And God gave us this English language, and we begin to read it and read it and read it. And so they said, tell me your testimony, brother. I want to hear your testimony because I want my faith to get built up. And we begin to share our testimonies with each other. And I remembered in that moment, I had not shared my testimony in quite some time. I said, why have I not shared the goodness of God, what God did for me? Why have I not shared that? Because it brings hope to people's situations. It's not old news, it's good news. And so God, give us the courage today to be a witness for you. Give us the courage, Lord, to love the unlovable, to love the offended, to love the ones that are bitter, to love the ones that are hard to love. Give us courage today to walk in the miraculous, to be the church of the living God. I just want to pray this real quick. I don't know. We're all in different walks of life and different seasons of life. And I don't know where you are at with the Lord, but I just want to give an opportunity. And then we're going to sing this song. But if you have strayed away from the Lord, if your heart has been distant and if your heart has been grown cold to the things of the Lord, I just feel like there's no better time than today to get your heart right with Jesus. And maybe you've never given your heart to God, and you can do that today. It is the most amazing adventure that you can step into in your life, saying yes to Christ. And so I want us all to pray this prayer. And if you mean this, if this is you, I just want you, the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. So God knows where you're at, but I want us all to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Savior. Lord, I need you. I repent for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've said. Please forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Sanctify me. Set me apart, Lord. I choose you today. I want to live for you. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I confess you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, whether you rededicated your life or if it was the first time, I'd encourage you to talk to somebody in this room about it. Don't be silent. Talk to me. Find somebody. But we're going to sing a song now, and we're just going to end with some worship. I just feel that there's something on this song. So if you could just engage with worship for a few minutes. If you need to go, you're released to go. God bless you. Have a beautiful Sunday. The Lord bless your family. Protect your family today. And just be good and shine His face upon you in all that you do. In all that you do this week, the Lord be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is that is who you are. 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 You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You know, that's... Hello. Yeah, you know, that's who God is. He's the way maker. He's also our Father. And when we get chastised a little bit by His Word, when He brings us into alignment, it's not because He hates us, it's because He loves us. If we've had a good Father will chastise us. He'll bring us into alignment so we can be blessed and healed and restored. And you know what? We all need it sometimes. We all need to be awakened. If you ever listen to Billy Graham, he don't tell you how good you should feel. He tells you that you need to lighten up. You need to know who you are. You need to be who God's called you to be. And you know something? It says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. But if we don't repent, if we don't come in alignment, then we're going to walk in this false, fleshly thing that'll burn us out and keep us away from God and to see His miracles. I believe today was an alignment day. It was a day that Mike brought us into a place where, you know what? We can be healed. We can be restored. We can be renewed. All we got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And you know what? We may have to say it day after day after day. Maybe God is working on our heart. Maybe it's something that He wants us to wrestle with a while, to purify us, to know that. But it says, doesn't it? It says, wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. Sometimes in our waiting, there's tribulation, there's wrestling. But you want to know something? Don't be burnt out. Come to your brother. Come to your sister. Walk together. We need to walk together right now because God is developing an army that's going to not go to the left or the right, but we're going to keep our conscience on the holy, righteous, mighty Creator of heaven and earth. And He's going to move mountains beyond our wildest dreams. He's going to bring us together in love and hope. And you know, I'll tell you what, this church is blessed. We got Mike Gehringer, a man of God who's not afraid to speak the truth in love. And you know what? We need to do that to each other. If we see our brother sin, we're supposed to go to him and speak to him. We're not supposed to let him fall off the cliff. Jesus went and left the 99 to get the one that was lost and fallen off the cliff. You know what? They're waiting for us. We're waiting for each other. It's our day. This is our day to love one another. This is our day to be the church. The church that's been covered up by fleshly lies and by feelings and by the things that don't acquire any power. But you know what? We want the power of God. He says, I baptize you with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses even unto the ends of the earth. Oh God, let us be your witness. Let us be your glory on this earth. Let us be your hands. Let us be your feet. Let us be your mouth to speak. Let us be who you want us to be, God, so the world may know you. Hallelujah. You know what? I just wanted to say that because it's been burning in my heart, and I know that I've been through so much, just different things in my life. I don't want to sit here and confess them all, but I'm going to tell you, don't quit whatever you're wrestling with. It's a lie. And you know what? You're going to win. There's no way you're going to lose if you hang on to Jesus. And these guys that are burnt out, these pastors, they're going to come back. They're going to come back in the name of Jesus because God said, I will finish that work in you until the days of Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, He's not going to quit. And I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that's quit on Jesus, that don't mean that Jesus has quit on me. Amen. So we've got to be his mouth, we got to be his heart, and we got to be his love in this earth. God bless you all. You have a great week. Lord, I just ask you to bless them, Lord. Give us, it says the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the fearful run from things that are not even there. Lord, let us be righteous. Let us be bold. Let us confess your word. Let us love people that are unlovable. Let us touch the untouchable. Let us speak the words of love that break the yoke and lift the burden. Let us set the captives free. Let us lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Let us be your witnesses in this town, in this city, in this region. In Jesus' name, amen.